And we welcome you into the Grand Country Studio for another edition of our At Your Service podcast. It's part of the Branson Podcast Network. I'm Scott McCauley, and I have to say, January's been a little rough here on the At Your Service podcast, not because of the shows that we have done, because we've had several great shows with the Missouri Department of Conservation, which we have another one of those coming up in a moment, but we were unable to get together with our friends at the Stone County Community Health Coalition because of the inclement weather. We're in the middle of our series of programs with the coalition and the Galena High School public health class. We are hoping to reschedule some of those shows for a later date, and maybe even get a couple of those in February. However, as we tape this program and record the program on January 26th, we actually are just in a few days of actually being outside, either in the morning or not, and seeing our breath, or sliding on the ice as I was earlier this week, or anything like that. So we are actually getting some nice weather. So it is kind of a nice time to be outdoors, which means it is really timely that we start this particular show, which is our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation on a program we call the Conservation Report. And delivering this week's report is the Taney County agent who we have dubbed the kind of the executive producer or coordinator of this program. He's the one that makes sure someone is here every week, and sometimes he even brings himself in here. Quentin Fronahouse is at the other microphone and actually here in our Grand Country studio. Quentin, it's good to see you.
Yeah, I don't know if you're lucky today or if you lost the draw. I'm not sure, but I'm here. So
yeah. Well, let's put it this way. I did draw a straw. And we won't tell you if it's the long one or the short one. We'll just kind of leave it at that.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that about the weather and seeing our breath or not being able to see our breath. But, you know, back in October when the temperatures got to 30 degrees, we're like, man, it is so cold. I'm freezing. You know, where's my coat at? And now it's like, yes, it is 30 degrees. Let's take.
It was 40 the other day. I almost put my short sleeves on.
I know.
And I hate cold. I despise cold weather.
I know.
And, and you just, when you've been in below temperatures, below freezing, then all of a sudden you get in the 30s and 40s, even got into the 50s yesterday. It's like, man, bring in the suntan. I'm surprised they haven't had to run on suntan lotion everywhere. So, but the thing is, we are in this kind of period now. We did have a little bit of a recap, and I'm sure you may have more information. Of course, last week was our first show after the end of the deer season when the archery season closed up. I think Chris was here last week. We were talking a little bit about that. It is kind of in between, but that doesn't mean there's not anything going on. Is that right?
Right. So, yeah, the archery season did close on the 15th, and I have some deer totals I was going to share with you.
Go ahead.
Kind of lead into some other things too, but you know, really we do have some seasons that are still open. We have the duck hunting season, which has been getting a lot of interest with all the ice that we had, the cold weather. The ducks were trying to find some spots to feed, and we had lots of waterfowl in the area, Scott. So we had lots of hunting activity, some good and some bad, and we'll talk about that here into the show a little bit. But since you brought up the deer seasons, we had a record harvest this year of 326,026 deer in the state, and so that's a huge amount. I think 2005 was the previous record, and it was about 325,000 deer, so we beat that by 1,000. And so you think of 326,000 deer, that's a lot of deer. In Taney County, we had about 2,900 harvested, so I don't think that was quite our record, but it was probably close.
Still quite a lot, though, isn't it?
A lot of deer. And so with those numbers in mind, you know, some of the questions we get asked, and try and lead into this, I guess, a little bit with the CWD, the chronic wasting disease that we do have in the county. This year we had 10 new positives in Stone and Taney County that we reported to the hunters. And so we had, you know, that 10 new positives means that we have some new core areas that have expanded, some new ones in different areas. And when I say a core area, that's where the department contacts the landowners in that area to see if they would like to do some additional sampling after January the 15th, the season closed, basically, for archery and any deer seasons except for the CWD sampling season. So January 16th, that started. And this is kind of a lot of information, but we're getting quite a few rumors, as do with anything, I feel like. But I'm hearing, you know, with the chronic wasting disease, the department's going to come in and wipe out the whole deer herd, and that's not the case. And it wouldn't even... be possible. I'm just not that good of a shot, Scott. So I'm just not that good to do that. But
so many jokes that could come out of that, that I'm going to leave it alone.
I'll just say I'm just not
leave
that
good. You teed it up, and I'm going to give you a late Christmas present and leave that one off the table.
I love to throw those up there, though, just to see what your reaction is going to be.
You just want
to
see if I'm paying attention.
I do. I was. Keep you awake. You know, I know people really think a lot of me, but I'm just not that good, Scott.
I know. Yeah.
Back to this numbers. You know, we're not going to come in with helicopters and start just bombing the area for deer. We're not going to do that. And yeah. So, but you hear all kinds of crazy things out there. And so, here's the scoop. If you're in a chronic wasting disease where chronic wasting disease was found, you will get a letter from the conservation department or a phone call. One of those two. You will get one if you're in that core area. And the options are, you can you'll read the letter, and if you want to participate, that's great. If you don't want to participate, that's fine too. And you can say no thanks, and you can say please don't contact me again, and we will not contact you again. And we have a map that actually has those properties that have said that in red, so we know not to contact those people again. So you can say no thanks. You can say, yes, I'd like to participate. And then there's some other options. If you do want to participate, you can shoot some deer on your property yourself if you choose to. Or you can let MDC come on your property. And we have some team members, some employees that come on there, and we set up blinds and we shoot deer ourselves. And so those are the three options, basically. No, yes, and so no, landowner and MDC shoot.
So you did notice when he was mentioning that, he did not mention which team member, so we will say right. that maybe there are certain members, Quentin, that may not be included in that because of lack of aim. You know, I remember last week, we talked a little bit about this with Chris, so I think it's a good time to put this number in perspective. You were mentioning the number, you know, up to 10 now, which is certainly a jump in the number. Now, over the overall deer herd is still clean, but even though that increase is slight in the overall scheme of things, that's something that you and the Missouri Department of Conservation really want to keep a good handle on.
Right, it's around 1%, you know, for the total herd in the state. So that's very small ratio. Whereas in some of the states where they have done nothing to try and work on the CWD, as far as sampling, where they've done nothing, it's as high as 40-50%. Ratio. So it's a lot higher in those states where nothing has been done. So that's what we're trying to do, just kind of curb this, keep the numbers down until we can figure out a solution. We don't know what that is just yet.
And that's part of the problem is a lot of those states, and again, this isn't, you know, we're not second guessing other states and how they've handled it, but frankly, some of the states that have had the biggest increases are border states like Arkansas.
Right.
I think maybe Iowa was one of those up in northern Missouri. There were some other states that have certainly been border states, which is why this has become a concern in Missouri.
Yes, it definitely is. It seems like the hot spots just across the line into Arkansas, and it seems to be radiating out from there. But with that being said, you know, let's look at these numbers. You know, let's just think about it. People are saying, yeah, we're going to come in, we're going to shoot all the deer. We give the landowner the option, hey, how many deer do you want shot on your property? Do you want bucks, does, whatever it is? And we go by that. But also, let's say we did want to eradicate all the deer in Taney County. Let's look at that as well. We killed 3,000 deer in regular deer season, and how many deer are you seeing along the roads right now, Scott?
I will tell you, this year, and this part of this was during deer season, but even the last, I've seen at least a dozen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just,
I've seen them. I mean, and they're still around.
Last night, when I was going to the ball game, it was like I was dodging deer in the median. I mean, they're everywhere, and so let's look at it as a whole for the state. We killed 326,000 deer in the state. And we're still, you know, just we're seeing deer all over groups of, you know, 3, 4, and 5 here in Taney, probably bigger than that in other parts of the state. So last year when we did the chronic wasting disease, the sampling project, we harvested about, 150 deer here in Taney County. But in deer season, we harvested 3,000 deer. So we are by far nowhere close to being able to eradicate deer in this county. Even if we wanted to, Scott, it'd be really tough. Job. So that's some of those rumors. You can just look at the numbers and say, hey, this is not right. But, you know, people like to, you know, throw some conspiracy theories out there, and that's fine. But we just try and, you know, talk about those, and that way people aren't really, you know, following along with that, Scott.
Yeah. Well, and there is, you know, there is a purpose to try to continue and look at this and analyze this on an ongoing basis, which the department has done several years now. But at the same time, you know, the reason for doing this is you want the deer herd to be as healthy as possible.
Right, we do, and there's been no studies that show any kind of a transmission from deer to human. So that's not something that's ever been proven, but you know, we do advise that if a deer is tested positive with CWD that you don't eat that. So we do recommend that you'd get those tested, you know, for two reasons. We don't want you to eat it. For another reason, we want to know where it's at so we can try and sample that area a little bit more and see how prevalent the rate is in that area. And that's what we're trying to do. I mean, the transmission is done from nose to nose, or, you know, from body fluid to body fluid. So if we can keep that the number of deer in that area down, or get it to be a little bit lower than what it is, hopefully we can stop that from being transmitted so quickly, Scott. So that's kind of our goal, until science kind of catches up and we can try and figure out how to stop the prion from being transmitted. That's kind of our end goal, but we're not there yet. So in the meantime, we're trying to sample and try and get the numbers down as best as we can, to prevent it from being spread so quickly, Scott.
So before we leave deer season in its entirety, at least for this part of it, and I don't know if you have any numbers yet, but I know one of the things you really keep tabs on is the amount of deer meat donated during share of the harvest. Any idea how we did in the area this year?
Yeah, and that's another thing too. So during the season, we actually have the Share the Harvest program, which White River actually pays a portion of, and then the Federation, Conservation Federation, pays the other portion. This year we had 75 deer donated to that program, and so I did do some totals out in the car. I think you're reading my mind. So anyway, this is something I always like to talk about. You and I have talked about it for years. I think that's kind of how we've got this program started, with Cindy Raines years ago talking about that.
Remember
program.
That, yeah.
But 75 deer, so let's just equate that into, like, you know, average maybe 35 pounds of meat per deer. That's about 2,600 pounds of meat being donated to the counties here locally. Break it down a little further into quarter pound hamburgers, that's about 10,000 hamburgers. So that's been donated to the pantries in Stone, Taney, Christian, and Douglas counties. And those pantries are always calling, like, hey, can we get some more deer meat? Because it goes fast, Scott. It's one of the things that people really, really go in there and ask for. It's a great program.
You know, it's interesting because we, we have our annual holiday food harvest, and of course we work closely with CAM on that, as we do Salvation Army, and those organizations and others in the region have ongoing food drives all the time. And I think most people listening to us probably understand, that this is an ongoing situation, but there is no such thing when it comes to a donation like this of too much deer meat. I mean, that's just not there. And obviously you appreciate the donations we have gotten to the program, but if keep it in mind for future use. Share the Harvest is something that's going to be there for a while, and people are more than welcome to try to help their neighbors.
Yeah, that's the situation. Really the only limiting situation we had for a long time was, is there enough freezer space at the food pantry? And so with the new CAM facility there, they have plenty of space to store the deer meat, and so some of the others aren't that way, but really that was the only limiting factor, was how much can you store and how much can we bring you. But yeah, the 75 deer, I think we can do better than that. We've got lots of deer tags down in this area that you can fill deer with, so if you don't like the deer meat, then you can donate it to the Share of the Harvest. Just go out and go hunting and then donate to the Share of the Harvest. And so, with that being said, I just talked about chronic wasting disease, and now we're talking about Share of the Harvest. We do actually test all those deer. So any deer that's donated to the Share of the Harvest program, we test that deer and we hold it at the processing plant until a CWD not found, test result comes back. So once that result comes back, then we're able to donate that to the food pantries, because we don't want to be donating something that comes back positive. And so those deer have all been tested. And also, to continue on in this sampling season, where the landowners are signing up to participate, they have an option of donating those deer to the Share of the Harvest also. And so maybe in a few months I can have another total of how many deer were donated during that program. So hopefully we'll have another couple hundred deer donated to the food pantries here locally, Scott.
You mentioned the Conservation Federation and White River Electric. Their outreach program helped support that, fund that. Especially here locally. Are friends in Oldfield still taking care of the processing on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not anything closer for people to have to drive to Oldfield. It's a little bit of a travel, but that's the only one we have in the area. So Old Fields Processing, and then Nathan Stearns is actually the contact of White River that kind of oversees the program. And so it's been a really good program. The Federation, I believe the total cost was $140 per deer to get processed. The Federation pays about half, and then the White River picks up the other half of that. And that money comes from the Operation Roundup program. So when you pay your bill, you round it up to the nearest dollar. That money goes into that program, and it's a great deal because they pay for the processing or the other portion of it, and they also do scholarships and other things throughout, you know, other community outreach programs. Scott, it's a good deal. So if you're not doing that, I would recommend you do that. It would help our program out also.
And yeah, you will also find out at the end of the program, you know, if you hear this, and again, these podcasts are on here for a while, so if you're hearing this maybe a little bit later on and don't remember any of that, if you reach out to one of the local conservation agents, they can certainly point you in the right direction to get contact and get everything set up. So just keep that in mind, Quentin. So we've kind of put a wrap on deer season, except for the CWD portion that's still continuing where it is needed. And you mentioned a few of the other seasons going on. Is there anything else big that may be coming up here in about maybe 5 weeks or so that people may be looking forward to? I just seems like at the back of my mind, there's something that happens very soon.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm going to say the Chiefs and the Super Bowl. Is that what you're? No.
Well, it'd be happening sooner than that. So yes, we are hoping. But here's the thing. I will tell you this way. To me, there are two Super Bowl days in the year for the Missouri Department of Conservation. One of those happened last November. That's the opening of the firearms deer season. And the other one takes place on March the 1st.
Right. Yeah, March 1st opener at the trout parks is always a big deal. So that is coming up. It's always something that we put a lot of effort into working. There'll be, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 people, depending on which park you're at, standing shoulder to shoulder, getting ready for that whistle to blow or the horn to blast or the gunshot to go off so they can make their first cast. And so it is, if you haven't been to a trout park on opening day, you should go, just to, even if you don't fish, just to watch. There's a lot of
it is a great spectator event. I've not gone. Dan Aiken has tried forever, and again, we have seriously tried this, and I always look at the calendar every year, because one year as we've been doing this, I really would like to be there opening day just to see this, because we have on Ozarks now, we usually have the president of the Cassville Chamber on a couple of weeks before, because that's a big day over there, so we talk to her. Of course, we between Dan Aiken and Dan Vanderhoff, among others, we get a lot of insight into that. But this is, I mean, when you say impact in so many different ways, I don't think we could say enough of the impact, especially economically, it has on those regions with the trout park, the Cassville Roaring River area certainly included there over in Barry County. It's big enough that Cassville doesn't have school that day. If it's on a weekday, they cancel class. That's an automatic.
Yeah, that's right. And you try and find a motel or hotel room there, and there's not one available. So,
well, I've heard stories of people, you know, they'll say, well, we've noticed there was a slight increase in rents and motel stays around that time. And come to find out, some of them were from people going to Roaring River, because it's only about an hour from here,
right?
And so you could stay in Branson and make the drive over there pretty easily.
Yeah, you see, they'll stay, you know, here and drive over, just like you said, it's not that far, and that's what I usually do whenever I work it. So just because there's not really, well, if we plan on having like a big group patrol there, we have to get like the rooms in advance, like a year in advance. Hey, here's a block of rooms that we need for this date. And so they work with us, but it's a huge number of people that show up there. I mean, there'll be people directing traffic, just trying to get it is a fun event, honestly.
Well, and the other thing about the opening of trout season, we can tell you, and I can only vouch for the year, because even in my previous stop in media years ago, this is the 80s when I was working at KWTO in Springfield, we had a big event in conjunction with the opening of trout season that we'd actually do a broadcast from down there. So I've been involved in a lot of these, hearing from a lot of you, and if you could imagine every single potential weather condition except for earthquake, hurricane, and volcano, it has happened on opening day of trout season at some point.
You're right. I was at Roaring River the one time it snowed like 6 inches suddenly, you know, after the start. And if you haven't been there, it's steep either way you go out of there. And it was a mess. But it could be 60 degrees the day before. It's always like 10 below the start.
We came out right out of a tornado, I believe. We had severe thunderstorms right prior to the opening day. We've had beautiful weather. We've had maybe not as cold as we had 2 weeks ago, but we've had, you know, frigid, below freezing temperatures. We've had everything.
You're right, but the, you know, the
but they still show up.
They do show up, and the Department of Natural Resources actually owns the, you know, the Roaring River, the state park, and then we do the hatchery and release the fish and all that. But you know, they have it set up right though. They have, you know, if it's a cold day, they'll have barrels out there with you know, burning wood in those for the fishermen to warm up by. They have you know, some handicap accessible fishing spots where you can wheel, you know, your wheelchair right up to the bank there and be able to fish. So it's a really good event. You know, yeah, the cold may come, the wind, whatever, but it doesn't stop the fishermen from being there. I've never been there when there wasn't just shoulder to shoulder fishing activity. So it brings them out whatever the weather is, Scott, and it's a really good deal. I have to say, maybe I'm a little partial, but I've worked all the other parks in the state, and Roaring River seems to always have the biggest and best quality of fish. So if you have one to choose from, that's the one I would pick, Scott, if you're looking for a great place to go.
And we haven't got the number yet. Usually we find out about the time, and we'll reach out, but usually about a week or two is when we talk to the Cassville Chamber. But we do know that 4 years running, Roaring River State Park has been the most visited state park in Missouri of any type, Roaring River. And, you know, and I know, you know, Vanderhoff still sits on the highway over there, you know, with sciences, go to Roaring River, trying to stay number one or whatever he does over there. But whatever happens, it's worked, and hopefully it is, but it is. But Roaring River's got so much more besides the fishing. It's got trails. It's a great area. And in fact, Karen and I, my wife, we have not had a chance. We've driven by there a couple times, but we, at some point, we want to try to do a day over there just to explore, because we like to do a lot of exploring in nature and Roaring River. Now, I would not do that on March the 1st. It's going to be a little crowded then, but once this trout season kind of gets settled in into March, really for the rest of the summer, any day would be a great day to visit over there.
Yeah, really it is. I mean, it starts March 1st, but it runs through October, so there's plenty of time to go if you can't make that opener or don't want to. A lot of people just don't want to, you know. They think it's too busy, and that's fine too, but it is kind of exciting. It's kind of a tradition. You see fishermen that have, you know, been to every opener since they've had them, I guess. I don't know. You see all their patches and years that they've been there. And it's kind of a neat deal to visit. I was just looking. It says March 1st is a Friday. So I expect that to be a really busy, you know.
That weekend probably will be very busy then, since it's through a weekend. That's almost the perfect three-day weekend for it. So.
Yeah, it really will be. But, you know, just like you said, there's trails and everything to do. There's campgrounds, campsites. You know, we have endured the floods, the snow, but you know, it doesn't keep people from coming. It's just one of those things that's a tradition, I feel like, Scott. And so hopefully we'll see you there. Maybe we can get you set up to do some kind of a broadcast or shoot
Being
the gun
Friday,
off or something.
Well, here's the thing, it, you know, and I thought I remember it's Friday, but I'm saying we usually do this on Friday, so right. Yeah, I may look next couple of weeks. Of course, that's also, here's the other problem with that time. It's also, we're right in the heart of postseason basketball, so I'm going everywhere.
I know,
during that time.
I don't know how you do it. I mean, I try to make it to my kids' games, and I see you everywhere in the middle, and then you're still here at like 4 a.m. So
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder myself, and I would say, if I remembered, if I was could tell you, I do try to act alert every time I'm here. But I'm not always maybe that way, but at least I try to act.
Well,
that
that's
way.
Why I try to make myself sound so insufficient, so you can laugh once in a while. But So, anyways, yeah, I don't want to, you know, talk too good about myself, so it makes it, you know, makes people laugh when I don't.
Yeah, well, and you know, when you've got true life to base it on, that always does work pretty well for everyone, as we found out. Hey, before we wrap up and really get into each other's character assassination here, is there anything else you need to let everyone know about today?
You know, the duck season does end January 31st. I think some people will be sad about that. Some will be glad. We've had lots of issues on Taney Como this year, as we do for every year. But let's just maybe use a little bit of common sense, and let's try and look like some good duck hunters out there and not be shooting ducks per se, maybe like in the dock slips or around docks or in areas like the Bass Pro or the Landing, or when people are trying to put their boats on their trailer. These are all issues I've had this year, Scott. So if we could just hunt and treat others like we would want to be treated, that would be very welcomed here.
That's one of the biggest challenges, though, isn't it? Because it is, when you go to duck hunt, you're on water that has other people there to do other things. Whether, and now you don't have a lot of recreational use this time of year, but certainly you got a lot of people fishing and putting the boats in to do that. So, yeah, I can get, I mean, you got to be careful where you're at, don't you?
Well, Taney Como especially has become so developed. There's houses all over. And there is a, you know, it's kind of a fine line we got to walk, because some people love the ducks and some people love the geese, but there's, you know, half the community you know, the geese are just nothing but a problem. You know, they're sitting on their stuff. You know, they're, I feel like all they do, one guy says, well, all those things do is just walk and squirt. And so, and so anyways, they do cause, you know, they make a little bit of a mess. And so the geese are, you know, a problem to some, and they're loved by some. And so really the one way we have to manage those geese is hunting. So we don't necessarily want to just stop it, but I just would like for people to, you know.
They should do it safely, don't
do
they?
Do it safely. Yeah. You know, we're
reasonably, use some common sense. It's just like, right, we talk about with deer hunting. Don't get anxious for the shoot. Just make sure you're safe and secure. And, you know, I mean, you may want to get that geese, or you may want to get that duck, but do you really want to hurt someone and have to visit with either you or a law enforcement agent about an issue?
Right.
I mean, it's not worth that.
I could promise you, you will feel much better if you follow the rules without having to have me contact you about an issue that you know. If you shoot that goose, yeah, you're going to be excited for a second, and then once I show up and be like, well, you know, you almost shot the guy that was fishing on the fishing dock there.
my line for that is, you always want a conservation agent saying, hey, how you doing, what's ever going, but if a conservation agent, the next thing out of their mouth is your address, you know you're in trouble. So you probably just, let's just leave it so they can enjoy your success as well, but do it safely. That's what everyone needs to do.
Right. Yeah, we don't want anybody getting shot. Nope. You know, out there, and nor do we, you know, it looks bad on hunters in general whenever that happens. And so if somebody's sitting on their front deck, drinking coffee in the morning, and you're sitting there blasting away, it can just be, you know, kind of a turn off to hunters. And
absolutely.
So let's just use some common sense and go to an area where it's not so populated and where the houses aren't, so we're just not getting complaints. It's not fun, you know, Scott, if you're sitting out there calling and trying to shoot a goose, and the neighbor, you're sitting on the decks yelling and screaming at you. And so I mean, I just don't find any joy in that.
Nope.
Even if I shot a limit of geese, I would still be like, well, that
and
was
you're
no
in
fun.
An area that you're allowed to,
right?
You know, maybe, you know, and so and that does go both ways.
It does.
I think a lot of people that live there probably understand that during certain times there are going to be hunters there,
right?
But you know, but if everyone respects everyone's space, we should be good to go.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, some people I get complaints about, you know, well, I bought this house, overlooking the lake or overlooking the Forest Service, but I don't like people being on the Forest Service or being on the lake. So it's kind of like, well, you know, we have to kind of weigh some of these things out before you do them. But also, you know, we want to look good and be good stewards of conservation, and just, you know, we don't want to give hunters a bad name. And so if that's an issue, just maybe move somewhere else and just try and be that, you know, that good hunter that we're looking for, that we talk about in all the conservation classes, Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. Hunting is to try to keep everything in balance, and we want everyone to do it safely, but the outdoors is for everyone to enjoy for whatever capacity. As I've said before, my wife and I, our favorite thing is to walk, and she loves to take pictures. There's a room for everyone. Just be safe, be careful what you're doing, and it kind of goes back, and I know this isn't the topic, but we always say kind of be aware of your surroundings. We talk a lot about that when we talk about bear sightings, but just wherever you're doing, whether you're hunting, whether you're just out there walking around, just be aware of your surroundings, kind of keep alert, and everyone should be good.
Right. Yeah. It's not often, or it is oftentimes that I see maybe the first shot was a safe one, but the duck is flying away. It's that second and third one becomes
right.
The problem.
Yeah.
So let's just be, you know, be cautious and beware, and just like, you know, I hear a lot, just treat others like you'd want to be treated, and that goes a long way, Scott. But if you have any questions about the regulations, or, you know, if you see something going on Taneycomb or anywhere, you'll feel free to go to our website, mdc.mo.gov, and you can find our local contacts, or we also have the Operation Game Thief hotline at 1-800-392-1111, and you can call and report a violation, you can remain anonymous, and you can also receive a reward if that leads to an arrest, Scott.
It was good to see Quentin. I know Quentin and I run into each other probably more than any of the other agents because he's around games all the time. So I think I see you more at the games than I do doing this report
now.
But it's good to actually kind of see each other in our day jobs
I
now
know,
and
right.
get yeah, going there.
Yeah,
so.
I'm always wondering, like, well, should I say hi? Should I not? It looks like he's busy. So I just always wave and go on. Whether you see me or not, it's fine. But
and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I'm always cognizant of my surroundings, but also focused on the game. Quentin, it was good seeing you.
Thanks,
again. Take
Scott.
Care. You betcha. That's Quentin Fronterhouse, one of the Taney County agents for the Missouri Department of Conservation, delivering this week's Conservation Report. And we're wrapping up our Conservation Report podcast, part of the At Your Service series. Thanks to Quentin Fronterhouse for joining us today. Of course, as I mentioned in the open, we hope to be connecting with our friends at the Stone County Community Health Coalition, getting that series restarted here soon. And of course, every week we do a conservation report, part of the At Your Service podcast. I'm Scott McCauley. Thanks for joining us. And don't forget to check out the other shows right here on the Branson Podcast Network.